Being my wife, I thought she's going to give some spiritual, sophisticated answer, and it's like we will be flying in heavenlies on the cloud. And she turned to this reporter, and this is what she said. I think the greatest need right now, or the greatest tragedy that I see in society, is that the men are not men and women are not women. Think about that. Where are our men? I talk to young girls when I counsel people before marriage, or when I counsel youth. I'll ask them a question, you know, what do you think about men? And they say, well, it's almost impossible to find one. There are no men around. There are no boys around. They're cowards. And they say to me, it will be extremely difficult for me to find a man and to be married. I mean, is that not a sad thing? When our kids are looking around, our girls are looking around, and they can't find a real man. You know, you in America, you're a lot better off than we are in Canada. They have been brainwashing us for a very long time. They have been destroying men, manhood, ruggedness of a boys for a very long time. But then you got the feminism, you got the women, they're acting like men. Be a woman, be a man, be whatever God called you to be. So here, he says, all of this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew, that Christian, that pastor, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate. So his wife, Zeresh, and I pray always, God, confuse my enemies. Let their own devices be turned on their own heads. All his friends said to him, have a gallows built 75 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy. This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the gallows built. Let's arrest pastors. Let's arrest those Christians, those rebels. They're not willing to bow. But you see, Mordecai had to be willing to go all the way. Next morning, he was to be hanged. But he's not depressed. He's not going around and you know, committing suicide and saying, oh, that's it, it's over. He prayed. He prayed to God. The whole nation was praying at this time. And then let's go to Esther 7. Esther 7, verse 8 and 10. Of course, there is so much in this story, but I just want to give you a little bit of the heart of a warrior, because that's what God wants us to be, just like the heroes of old. Verse 8, just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house? As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Today they're covering our faces. Today they want us to be slaves. Today they say follow the science, and yet we do. And the science says, even on their own websites, that a muzzle does not work. On their own websites, you don't believe me? Go to their own websites. They did a study and they say, no, it's not working. And yet, we want you to wear one anyway. You got to know what the game is, what you're playing. What is the end game? But here, God says, you wanted to destroy my people. You wanted to muzzle Mordecai. Now you're being muzzled. They covered his face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house. He had it made for Mordecai who spoke up to help the king. The king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that the devices of the enemy will fall on the enemy's hand. I pray that the sword of the giants, the wicked, uncircumcised Philistines, will be used against their own heads. Father God, confuse the enemies. Let them keep doing the mistakes they're doing so far. They thought that by invading my church, your church, and arresting me in the middle of the highway is going to stop the truth from being preached. But you have given me the biggest pulpit, a preacher can imagine and wish for. I pray, Father, that you would raise your Davids and your Esthers and Deborahs and Joshuas and Calebs, a man of a different spirit, a man that are willing to go and do what you want them to do. Here I am, Father. Here we are. Use us for your kingdom. We have entered the last day of the last hour of the last day. You are coming back. You see, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. So, Father God, give us the last revival. Give us the last harvest for your kingdom so we can go and be useful in your kingdom, so we can go and participate in what you want us to do, so we can bring the greatest harvest you have ever seen into your storehouse. In the name of Jesus, give us boldness. In the book of Acts, they did not pray, God, remove our enemies. They prayed for boldness so they can go out there and preach the truth. Give us boldness of the apostles in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So next time when we see the opposition, we will remember that you, Jesus, you show up in the fire. And it's time for us to go to that fire so our enemies can be dealt with, so we can be purified, and so we can receive our promotion. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that the boldness and the fire of the Holy Spirit will fall on us like never before. Let us burn for your kingdom. Let us never be cowardly. In the name of Jesus, let us be courageous and strong. In the Bible, it says that cowardly will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let us never be cowardly. Let us be courageous and let us spread that courage left and right. Let us be contagious wherever we go. Be blessed, church, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.